It's 8 o'clock. This is KBNF Regional News for Thursday, December 17th. I'm Patricia Naft. Lake City residents approved allowing OHVs on town roads in a special election Tuesday. Town manager Leslie Klusmeyer says OHV access has been a big issue for Lake City.
We are on one of the three corners of the Alpine Loop, and that is a heavily traveled recreational route during the summer by people who enjoy OHVs. Silverton does allow them in, but Lake City has not. So if they wanted to come into Lake City, they would have to park and walk in, which is anywhere from a half a mile to a mile to the commercial area. And that was discouraging to some of the OHV users. And so this will allow people who are using the Alpine Loop in the summer to come into the historic district and visit our restaurants and stay overnight and do things like that.
Klusmeyer estimates there was a 60% voter turnout for the election. The recent winter storm has hammered parts of Colorado and has increased avalanche conditions across the state. Brian Laser is with the Colorado Avalanche Information Center.
Human-triggered avalanches are likely in the storm snow, and natural avalanches are also possible. Of course, what has led to the increase in avalanche danger is the fact that we have lots of weak snow out there that can't handle much of a load, and this passing storm has loaded our weak layers, making the chance of triggering a persistent slab avalanche more likely than it has been in the last couple weeks.
He advises people check conditions before heading into the backcountry. Public safety officials briefed Budget Committee lawmakers Tuesday on whether Colorado has enough troopers to keep drivers safe. Benta Berkland has more.
Scott Hernandez is the chief of the Colorado State Patrol. He used Tuesday's snowstorm as a way to illustrate the potential need for more troopers.
Seems like on days like today, there's never enough. There's often times when I might receive a phone call that says that that there's too many of us out there. So we need that balance.
Republican Representative Bob Rankin of Colorado Springs thinks part of that balance is to beef up efforts to educate drivers, especially on busy interstates.
I think about all the new young people who are moving to Colorado who decide to go skiing may not really understand that conditions change rapidly, may not be prepared.
Lawmakers on the Joint Budget Committee are hearing testimony from state agencies and departments this week to help them write the annual budget bill that'll be finalized during next year's legislative session. I'm Benta Berkland at the State Capitol.
A new tool aims to help North Fork Valley residents understand what's going on with the land and water around them. KBNF's Jake Ryan sat down with Alex Johnson of the Western Slope Conservation Center to talk about their new online map.
So on your website, there's a new map with a whole bunch of different layers. Could you tell me about the map and why you guys created this?
What we've attempted to do with this interactive map is to provide as much relevant data as we can without it being too overwhelming for any person wanting to access watershed information. So what is included in the map is various data sets from the state of Colorado, including the Colorado Oil and Gas Conservation Commission regarding oil and gas, as well as other public lands information, including roadless areas, recreation, travel corridors. We also have data sets that we've created within the Conservation Center, including restoration sites along the river, wetland, riparian zones. And we also have soils data from the USGS. And the idea is this will be a updated map that uses data that is maintained and updated from various other sources. A lot of this information is accessible from other locations, but what we're trying to do is layer them so that locals can look at all of this information in context. Our members and community members here can look at the state of the watershed and really have a contextual understanding of what's going on within the North Fork and Lower Gunnison watersheds.
How do you, and as the Conservation Center, imagine someone using this? To what end?
Primarily, it is an education tool. We want our communities to know, really understand the landscape that we live in and how that landscape works. This map provides that opportunity for people who might not be experts on public lands management, on roadless areas, on oil and gas leasing, to have access to as much information as the public has access to. You can look at every lease within our watershed for oil and gas, for coal. You can see when those leases were created, when they will expire.
So why did the Conservation Center put all this time and effort into educating the public? Why a map?
Maps are an incredible resource to empower communities to understand in context all the various things that are going on within our watershed and make educated decisions about how we best should manage our watersheds and landscapes currently and in the future.
That was KBNF's Jake Ryan speaking to Alex Johnson, Executive Director of the Western Slope Conservation Center. Researchers say they have developed a new method for pulling carbon dioxide from the air. According to a report in the MIT Technology Review, this technology may play a role in the fight against climate change. Inside Energy's Dan Boyce has the story.
You've probably heard of carbon fiber. It's the super strong, lightweight material found more and more in the aerospace and automotive industries. They make tennis rackets out of it. New technology developed at George Washington University sucks CO2 from the air and uses an electrochemical process to change it to oxygen and solid carbon fiber. Researchers hope this could eventually provide a high-value market for the carbon released by fossil fuels. Still, to make any real impact on global warming, the demand for carbon fiber as a building material would have to go way up. For Inside Energy, I'm Dan Boyce.
For KBNF News, I'm Patricia Naft.